Welcome into the Cam and Strick podcast, episode number 53. Why are you coughing?
Because my throat hurt or tickled or whatever the heck.
You know how to cough under the certain
dude, I put it in my elbow, dude, which is, you know, I put it in my forearm.
Is that how
is
you do
jacked.
It?
Yeah.
Do you shake hands? Do you?
No, I bow, dude. I bow to people. We already went through this. I don't shake hands anymore. Maybe you could hit the rock, but I bow to you.
Or you bow to me. You do the elbow?
Maybe I'll elbow you. I don't know. Let me put you out for 6 weeks.
Did you ever... people took it really far during Corona. I mean, Corona's no joke, but yeah. Like cleaning off the groceries and stuff like that. Did you ever take it that far?
Cleaning my groceries
yeah,
off?
Like
no.
Would, like wipe down the grocery bags and stuff.
I mean, no. I do wear a mask here and there because I don't want people to film me not doing it, the Eureka Schnooks, so therefore I will wear a mask. Am I really worried about it that much? Not necessarily. I do worry about my parents. We've been over this before.
Yeah, but now it's mandatory.
Oh, yeah.
You have to wear a mask.
I got one right here, dude.
What kind of mask do you have?
It's a Crown Royal mask.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's
so
not
when
a
they
bad
look
one.
At me like, oh, there's Cam. He's a straight-up alcoholic. Crown Royal mask. Like, good Lord.
Is it purple and felt?
Yeah, it's sick tough, dude. I'll show you this bad boy right. Yeah,
that is pretty sick. Yeah. That is pretty sick.
There she is. Right. Save the day. So, it's probably got Corona on it, so let me go ahead and put that away.
You need to wash that. You can't just wear it every time. You know you have to wash it every once in a while.
I do, kind of.
Okay.
What up?
What have you been doing?
Well, I've been wearing masks. No, I went fishing the other day, and then we
do
podcasts.
How to fish?
No, I don't know how to fish, but I caught some big-ass fish. Don't know how to do it. I don't like doing it. Fishing sucks.
Is fishing boring?
It's horribly boring. The only reason why I like to do anything when it comes to fishing is that I'm on the water. I love water. I love boats. We already know that. We ask people every single day, if you have money, if you don't have a boat, I don't know what the hell you're doing. If you have coin and you don't have a boat, I don't get it. What are you going to do? Have cars? Do you work on cars? Do you change your own oil? That's not fun. Go cruise around 70 miles an hour in open water. Like, what's up? That's the best of the
best.
Do
boats hold their value?
Yeah, they do. Actually.
Do they?
Yeah, except for when your engine blows out and shit like that, or you're stuck in the middle of the lake and you don't have the insurance for the tow to come pick you up and it costs you about $1,500. All you got to do is pay $70 a year and that tow boat will get you and take you anywhere to Lake of the Ozarks. That's a tip from Cam. Write that down.
Is Corona, is it coming back or did it never leave?
Oh, coronavirus?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still kicking around, dude. I mean,
it's like spiking everywhere.
Is it? Are there deaths there? I don't know. Maybe you'll get it, but you don't even know you have it. It's still serious, man. And, you know, I'm cautious. I wash my hands 15 times a day and I wear a mask once in a while.
How are they going to pull this off in pro sports?
They're not.
You don't think they will?
I don't know, dude. You think these kids are going to go up to Toronto and not be caught on every single fucking video everywhere they go? Because even if you're stuck in a goddamn hotel for 3 days straight, you're going to lose your fucking mind. Pardon my language. You're going to lose your mind. Okay? You're going to lose your mind. I know you got kids in the car. Fine. Turn it down. You're going to lose your mind. If you're in this hotel for 3 days straight not doing shit, you're going to lose your mind. But the Stanley Cup can't. I don't give a damn. You're going to lose your fucking mind.
Why aren't we allowed to say that there's an asterisk? Potentially
there's
an asterisk.
There's a huge asterisk. Huge asterisk.
Can we say that?
Goddamn right.
I didn't want to say that until maybe like...
How can you not?
A few weeks down the road.
I can't think about Andy.
You want to know what my prediction is?
What? The Islanders are going to win? Because they're going to be the most disciplined. There you go.
My prediction is everyone thinks that... everyone's breaking down the play-in rounds and the potential playoff series... Which I'm not ready to do until I really know we're going to have phase four and the games are going to be played. Like, don't ask me to break down a potential series. I'm not ready to do that.
Good luck doing that.
Take your time, okay? But my prediction is this: you're not going to see one of the true heavyweights, one of the powers, win the Stanley Cup, win this tournament. It's a tournament. People say they hate the word tournament. This is a tournament.
It's a tournament.
It's a play-in round.
Fucking
they
July.
Reseed. They reseed. It's a tournament.
Not the Stanley Cup.
I'll be watching as much as anybody else. I hope they come back and play. But I don't see teams who have won in recent years being nearly as motivated to stick around in these hub cities for 2 months and to play four full rounds even though the Stanley Cup is at stake.
Oh, I can't wait to win that Stanley Cup. I cannot wait to win that Stanley Cup. Why, Cam? Why can't you wait? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I can't wait to grab it. And I can't wait to do shit. You're not gonna do shit with it. This is gonna be the biggest asterisk
ever. Let me ask you
ever.
This. You think Washington, St. Louis, the core players in Boston who have won before. You
they're
think
like, fuck
you
this
think
shit.
They're as motivated to win as much as a team that has never won before?
How can you be? How can you be? You're not even gonna be able to celebrate with it. These guys are puking on fucking people.
But it's not just about that.
It's your name on the cup and it changed your life. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
it's your name on it. No. It's your name on the cup and it changed your life.
Put some money in your pocket too.
But when you're bleeding through your eyeballs 2 months into this damn thing, and you just can't wait to be like, I'm going to invite every single one of my friends. We're going to make out with this damn cup. I can't wait to share it with everybody. I can't wait to have a party like
Patty. And you're on the road. You're traveling. You're going to restaurants the night before games. All that experience you share with your teammates.
Everything.
Won't happen.
It's not happening. You're in a fucking tournament when you're 13 years old in Toronto against the fucking Marlies. This is a tournament you're in right now, and you're stuck with your mommy and daddy.
Are they playing shinny hockey in the
hallway?
You're
stuck with your fucking mommy and daddy. They're like, my dad's like, you can't go anywhere because you're a psycho, Cam. Like, okay, give me your credit card. Well, okay, I'll give you a credit card because I'm hanging out with the older dads. Oh, yeah, dad, I'm not leaving. I mean, that's like you're a fucking child, and you kind of should be because of the circumstances. I get that, but I don't know, man. These guys, I'm just like, what the fuck are we doing? What are we doing?
See, I see.
Five guys are going to get it. And it's going to be Ryan O'Reilly, it's going to be Jordan Binnington, it's going to be Vladimir Tarasenko, and then what? And then you're going to call up who? Guys that haven't even skated in 8 months? I don't know,
no,
man.
No, they're skating, man. They're taking,
are they?
Well, they take 28 players with you.
And then three other guys are going to get it. And then three other guys
are going
to get it.
What I'm saying is they're all participating in training camp and doing all that.
You think these guys are going to sit there, honestly, and some of the whole tournament's going to be about who the fuck went out and got caught on camera. Who went to a bar... Not a bar, maybe even a restaurant, maybe even a friend's house, maybe even this. And they walk down the street in Toronto or Edmonton and somebody's like, oh, not wearing a mask.
You're convinced they're going to do that.
Yeah, I am. I am convinced.
People I talk to say they won't.
Oh, really? Like
yeah.
Who? Oh, yeah, like who?
They say
reporters?
They won't.
Reporters?
No.
Who? A reporter?
No.
Who?
Players.
Okay.
They say you'd have to be absolutely stupid to risk not only your team, but all these other teams that are in the bubble.
It's a risky thing.
We've talked about this before.
It's a risky thing.
The players I don't trust are the guys that are the Black Aces that have no chance of playing, that are going to the rink every day and skating, and that are bored out of
their
mind, okay?
How about the staff?
But what are they going to do in Edmonton? They're going to go out in Edmonton?
I'm just saying, were you going to sit in your hotel room all day long?
Hockey and video games?
Let me rephrase this. It's not even about really the big dog player. Ryan O'Reilly can't go anywhere. Vladdy's not going anywhere.
No.
What about the staff? What about the trainers? What about the media guy? That's around the guy. Or maybe he won't be around.
There's
fine.
No media.
Okay,
dude.
Fine. The staff that works to deal with the media or whatever that's a part of the team, you think he's going to stay there for fun? Like, there's so many different variables. It might not be the big superstars. It might be a Black Ace. It might be a kid that hasn't made any money yet, but he's the last of the totem pole, and he got called up because other guys had it, and he's like, oh, I'm staying here. I'm never going to make this damn team. I still play. I'm making 50 grand. I'm going to go do what I want to do. I don't know. Or what about the staff member that's like, oh, Jesus, my family's here. I'm going to go. I don't know. There's, again, so many variables and the testing. And all of a sudden, you got four or five guys, your superstars, six,
well,
seven, eight
guys.
Well,
you're in Toronto,
guys.
Man. I mean, every team has a handful of players from Toronto, if not more.
And they're like, oh, hey.
And all their boys live there.
My
all
wife,
their friends,
my
their
wife
families.
Lives 3 miles down the road, and I'm not going to go see her with my child?
Let me ask you a
you're
serious,
fucking
serious,
nuts.
Serious, pardon
my
serious question.
Pardon my language.
Stephen A. Smith, you know who that is?
Yeah, I do.
You know what he said an issue is for the NBA players?
What?
He said, with all seriousness, you know what these players like to do recreationally? Recreational activities.
Gamble.
With their wives. Not having any women for up to 2 months. Not being able to be with their woman.
Come on.
For up to 2 months. Can players truly live that lifestyle when they're used to having whatever they need, whenever they want? Can they do that? Can they do that? Is that going to be a challenge for NHL players?
Yeah, man. Of course it is. Why do you think I'm saying this? Everybody's like, what are you talking about, Cam?
Well, they've agreed. They've agreed.
Go ahead and watch.
They're agreeing to it.
Just
though.
Watch.
They're agreeing to it.
The whole storyline is not even going to be about the hockey. It's going to be about who broke the goddamn rules. That's all the storyline is going to be about. This is going to be the biggest
asterisk.
I
don't know if you're going to have a lot of that.
Okay.
Now,
you want to bet on it?
No, because that wouldn't surprise me if it did
happening.
Happen.
It's already happening.
Well, they are right now, but they're not in the bubble.
They're almost in the bubble. You're a week away from the bubble.
Listen, I think any NHL player right now, coach, whoever, PR person,
coach, PR
anybody
person.
Who's on the list of 50, I think it's a terrible look if you're seen out in public right now.
No doubt about it. Now, I didn't say you should do it. I'm just saying guys are going to do it, and that's the storyline.
You can't just be like, okay, well, I'm going to wait until I'm in the bubble, then all of a sudden I'm going to quarantine myself.
After being bored for 5 months straight,
too? If training camp starts the 13th of July, and it's July 2nd right now, July 3rd, whatever it is, and you got to be in a bubble, like, you might as well start doing that now. Like,
I know.
What are you waiting for?
I know.
So, man. I just think, hey, man, you got to be careful because you don't want to be seen.
I don't
want to
be so negative. Look,
well, you're being
I'm not,
a little negative.
I'm
today.
Just being, actually, I'm kind of being realistic, to be completely
well,
honest with you.
We're not allowed to be realistic.
Oh, are we not?
We can't be realistic.
No, we're not.
Because if we're being realistic, then all of a sudden we're just
fuck
like,
off, then.
Because nobody else is being realistic.
Shit. I don't give a shit.
People who are talking about this and covering this, it's like, it's all,
like,
it's all Care Bears and unicorns.
It's gummies and it's rainbows and sunshine. Shut the fuck up. Just watch. It's a fucking clusterfuck. This whole thing is a clusterfuck.
How about baseball, though, where they're actually traveling from one city to the next? They're staying in hotels. And then they go home and they sleep at home. They have no idea where their kids were that day or where their wife was that day out shopping.
I know.
I mean, come on. Are we serious?
What are we doing here?
What are they thinking?
What if they touch the door handle and they touch the fucking door? I mean, that's how easy it is.
And then you have no symptoms. And then you show back up to work. I'm supposed to be pitching that day.
Oh, the same ball?
I have corona.
You're touching the same ball?
No, they apparently keep their own ball.
Oh, that's so easy to do. What a clusterfuck.
You can't chew sunflower seeds.
I'm sorry, guys. Somebody's got to say it like this, right? Maybe I'm over-exaggerating a little bit. You guys could chirp me, and I'm sorry I'm cussing too much.
I do think there's a majority of players who are going to take it serious. I just think there's one idiot in every
group.
That's
all it takes, though.
And that's all it takes is one.
Or one stupid-ass staff member. That's lowest of the damn totem pole.
But those people better watch out, because that's a heavy risk because you get caught. Guess what? Especially if you're a staff member. You get caught, you'll never have a job
in hockey again. What if there's a spike? What if there's a spike? And one of these low denominator, is that what it is? If you're in low denominator, does that make sense? I don't know. I have whatever. And they were seen out, even though they're not popular.
Dude,
they're seen
out. Put your cough in your
elbow.
Shut
up. So they're seen out, and all of a sudden there's a big spike, and all of a sudden there's a picture of a reporter or a staff member that just went that went to the keg that night in Winnipeg. Or, I'm sorry, in Edmonton. They went to the Keg, which is like one of the few restaurants that are there.
Steakhouse. Yeah.
Steakhouse, whatever. And they're just there, and they hit a steak. And all of a sudden, somebody noticed them because they see them at the rink. Or whatever. And there's a picture. And all of a sudden, somebody spikes. And they're like, oh, let's look at this. Tie it together. Oh, he was there. They have... you're fucked.
But guys are doing that now.
I know they are. That's what I'm saying. It's just... it's not that the... NHL players are undisciplined, and NBA players are undisciplined. Like, you're disciplined enough to be where you're at. Don't get me wrong.
Let me ask you this.
This is such a weird setup.
It's part of
this.
It's part of the CBA that'll be announced. Players are going to have the option to opt out. Allegedly. I mean, could you imagine?
I'm not going.
Tarasenko telling Doug Armstrong, hey, I'm not going with you to Edmonton.
Asterix.
God, that would be difficult.
Is it asterix?
But do you think players... Because we're hearing it in NBA, we're hearing it in baseball.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. We're going to hear about that with the NHL players, whether their wives are pregnant or whatever it is, and they're going to, you know, they're due during the course of the playoff run. We're going to hear players opt out, won't we?
I think so. I think some particular European players, man. I really do. That's a, you know, it's not easy just
should they be forced to go?
Yeah, man, you're on a contract, dude. You should be forced to do it. Again, this. I don't know. Quit asking me hardcore questions, Andy. Fuck's sakes, my fucking head hurts. Jesus Christ! I don't even want to cuss, but you're forcing me to do it.
Well, you know what? People are complaining about that,
and I'm sorry.
Okay, let me talk. Let me set this up. Because we don't get much negative reaction,
not really.
At all.
Yeah.
To this podcast.
It's always me.
The only negativity we get, well, sometimes my kids can't listen. Cam cusses.
How old are your kids? 5 years old. I don't give a shit. If they're 12 and beyond, then okay, they can suck it up a little bit. Okay, fine, I won't talk about...
What's the age? What's the cutoff when you can
12,
start cussing?
12, man.
Is it 12?
Yes, it's 12. If you want your kid to listen to this kind of stuff, then he's got to be 12 or older. If not, then that's on you. Save till you get home. Like, damn, sit and have wine with your wife. Actually, she probably shouldn't listen either. But my point is, there's got to be some alone time you could have where you could put this damn thing on. I'm sorry if I'm cussing in front of your kids. And sometimes it's worse than other days. Sometimes I'm in a pissy mood. I'm an emotional son of a bitch. Sometimes I'm pissy at Andy. Andy annoys the shit out of me. What do you mean do? Am I used to this kind of stuff, man? So I say the F bomb a little bit more once. Today I'm a little more chill. Sorry. I'm sorry. Honestly, I'm sorry. I don't want to, I'm not an influence to the young children, but 12 and up, like, let them do their thing.
Maybe you abuse the F word, man. It could be that.
Maybe I did that day. Today I'm okay.
You kind of come in and out with that.
I get pissed, man. I'm in weird moods, dude. I'm an emotional roller coaster. What am I going to do? Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm real, I think.
There you go. Okay. Well, no, we appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know. I'm sorry. Honestly, I'm sorry. I don't want you not to listen to me because your kid's in the car. But how old are your kids, dude? 5? Well, fuck. Well, heck. Darn it.
Darn it.
Dang, dude.
Pierre Turgeon, Hall of Famer, yeah. Yes or no?
I think so, 100%. Look at his points. Great guy, too. Just laughs at everything. I love people that laugh at everything.
He does laugh a lot.
Makes me feel better about myself, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He laughs at everything. What a cool cat, man. He was always nice. I remember seeing him when I was a kid. My dad brought me down, and he was just nice to me. I don't remember too many things when I'm young, but I do remember meeting him in the hallway.
Where were you?
It was down under the underbelly there. I was a little bit older compared to some of the other guys I met, like Philippe Bozon and stuff like that, where I still have his autograph. But this guy, man, he just looked me in my eyes, shook my hand as a kid. I just remember that. I'll never forget that, man. And then the Phoenix goal and stuff like that. Like, I liked – he tucked his shin pads into his socks. He had the tongues out. Mm-hmm. Tongues out, baby. Just like Stevie Ott did it. And then I wore my tongues out because of Pierre Turgeon and Stevie Ott. I don't know. Little things like that always stick with you.
The Dale Hunter hit on Turgeon.
That was so gutless.
As dirty as anything you've ever seen?
I mean, when Chris Simon, somebody, you step on their leg or, like, you cross-check Hallwick in the fan.
He just scored a goal.
Yeah, he just scored a goal.
He says he didn't know the goal scored, except there were, like, 20,000 fans.
Dale, we're getting you on. Dale, you try to call up guys from who knows what league to fight me when I was playing in Windsor and you were a coach in London. So you're coming on a damn podcast to explain yourself on this bad boy. That was a dirty hit. I know dirty hits, and that was one of them.
Yeah. He probably felt bad about that, too. He's a stand-up guy.
He's a cool cat, man.
Really
did
cool.
Did a great job up in
really
London.
Cool. But I like Pierre Turgeon. We asked him about that here in the podcast, man.
He's like, what's up?
You just move on, man.
Yeah, man.
All these guys seem to do that.
They're so cool.
Whether it's Lindros with Stevens, although I do feel, I sense a little animosity still.
From
Big E.
Yeah, Big E's in a different category, man. He's hurting upstairs a little bit more than maybe a Pierre Turgeon is. Pierre Turgeon hurt his shoulder. When you hurt your head like that, it sets you back in a different way, and that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, but it did potentially ruin their chances of winning the Stanley Cup.
Big time. Oh, that was when Canadians won, 93 there. Mm-hmm. Think about that. The Islanders had somewhat of a chance.
They knock out the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Yes, you beat the big dog. Remember I asked Pierre, too, I go, hey, how was that
series?
He's like,
series.
I didn't play. I'm like,
I think you played in game 7 or something.
And you gave me that look, and I'm like, all right, fuck that question. God damn it.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Ugh. But he's one of the nicest guys ever, man. He's had some adversity in his life, too.
Yes, he
man.
Has. Oh, yeah.
You know,
personal stuff.
And
with
that's always difficult to hear.
About
so
that a little bit.
Pierre Turgeon, great player for a long, long time.
Sweetheart
in
of a guy.
In the NHL, man.
Love the guy.
And this is a fun conversation, man. People will certainly enjoy hearing from Pierre Turgeon.
Yeah, baby. Yeah,
hey, as always, the show is brought to you by CarShield and CarShield.com. You get yourself in a little bit of an issue. Your starter goes out like Cam.
Ugh, embarrassing.
Your engine goes out. Computer goes out. You're looking at a bill of thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Dude, just pay a small fee every month. Have yourself taken care of. Give them a call today. 800-857-2481. 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM.
C-A-M.
And you'll save 10%. CarShield.com. A deductible may apply. You know what that is? A deductible?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I do. Okay. And I will say this, though. My starter went out in Eureka. Very embarrassing. My truck's in the middle of Eureka, like downtown. So, like, when people are driving by, honestly, like, gee, Cam's having a late night. What's he fucking doing? No, my fucking starter went out. Sorry. And they're like, Cam, what do you want to do with this? I'm like, can I take it up to this little place right up here in Eureka? They're like, yeah, easy peasy. I take it up there a day later. It's all done. No. Like, there's no questioning, just like, it's done. Here you go, and they'll drive back off, and like, here's your car. I'm like, what just happened? You just fix this for nothing, really? I pay a little bit a month, and I get my starter fixed. They had to get another starter because the other starter didn't work. What a pain in the ass. But it wasn't for me. It was on them, and they take care of it. They're the real deal, the easiest thing you could possibly do when it comes to this kind of stuff.
No doubt about that. You know who else is the real deal?
Who?
David Long with Gadget. Buyback.com.
And he's got good hands in hockey, dude.
Does
what a
he?
Cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to
10
see.
Times better.
Can't
than
wait
you.
To see.
He's going
to
actually
he?
Take. Yes, he's going to take your spot. He's probably going to take your spot in the Illinois
like
skates.
On fire right now, by the way.
Quarantine did a what?
Quarantine,
you're on fire with
quarantine
what,
did great for me,
shit.
By the way. I needed a little bit of break.
You're on fire okay? with what? Children that you're coaching? Get on with yourself. David Long's a real deal. And I tell you what, a Gadget Lab, if you break your phone and honestly, if you think that you're making money right now, you're somewhat young and you're trying to talk to girls in Clayton or whatever, and you're like, hey, put your phone in put your number in my phone, and you hand a girl your phone, and it's fucking cracked. She's gonna be like, get the fuck out of here. She's gonna throw your phone across the street and be like, I don't deal with hillbillies. That's what she's gonna say. Go get that damn thing fixed. It's the easiest thing in the world. Plus, if you're a company and you're dragging ass, like, what's going on? Well, look at your technology. It's 8 years old. Go trade it in, get top dollar for it, and get hooked up. You want your company to succeed? Do that.
Go to gadgetbuyback.com. Find out how much your old device is worth now. They can fix Apple Watches too, man.
Yeah, dude.
And it doesn't even have to be an Apple device. They can hook you up.
Anything.
Hook yourself up. Don't be walking around with a cracked phone or a cracked tablet. 877-772-8880. Gadgetbuyback.com. If you're in town locally, you want to stop by their Oakville store, check that out as well. 877-772-8880. And they'll fix it while you wait, dude. It's that simple. Their website, gadgetlabmobile.com. So be sure to check that out. Of course, Bellman.com. Man, if you're looking for a new ride, we're heading out there in a few weeks, by the way.
Yeah. So my cousin that listens all the time, he's like, Cam, you keep talking about this Jeep that you want to get, and you kept calling it the XRT.
Yeah, what are you
FRT.
What are you calling? Is that like a pickup truck?
No, it's an SRT. It's a Jeep Grand Cherokee SRT. It's got a badass engine in that bad boy. You turn it on, it's got dual pipes coming out the back like you're a shit kicker. That's what I want. And I want my wife to get one, too, so she looks like a badass, too. I like that. I want to look tough. She wants to look tough, although she's like 5'1", 100 pounds, beautiful blonde hair with blue eyes. She's not necessarily looking tough, but when she's in that son of a bitch, she looks like a badass son of a bitch, and that's what we want.
But I was talking to Dan yesterday, Dan Bellman,
yeah.
BehlmannN.com, because my wife, her lease has a few more months on it, but they will do like a pull-ahead program. They'll buy your car from you, even if you have months left on your lease payments.
Dude.
You can still trade it in and get yourself
and
a
your
nice
wife can
ride.
Walk in there and feel comfortable.
Yes.
Don't make me explain this anymore.
No, we know.
Okay.
Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram on one side of the street, Cadillac, Buick, GMC on the other side. All in Troy, Missouri. Again, Bellmann, Bellmann.com. All right, Pierre Turgeon, former first overall pick, over 1,300 points. Mm. Sick, sick player. Great vision, could score goals, great teammate. One of the nicest people you'll ever meet in the history of the NHL. And he's with us now on the Cam and Strick podcast. Are you wearing a mask when you go out, or are you one of those that don't wear the mask?
Yeah, I wear a mask. I mean, I do. I mean, it's not all the time. All depends if it's outside or no. If you eat outside, no. If you go inside somewhere, you do it. And most of the people do. I mean, I got to say, most of the people do. You go to the grocery store, people putting a mask on. So, yeah.
You know what? You're right. It's weird everywhere you're at. Like, some places in Missouri, you go and no one even wears it, no one cares. But then I went to the gas station just now, and I kind of got yelled at by some lady, and I'm like, oh, interesting. I'm like, okay, sorry about that. Where do you live in Florida, though? Like, what kind of setup you got down there?
So I live in Denver, and we're moving to Florida right now. So we're selling our house. We bought a place in early 2000 here. We've been renting it. It's been a business for many years, but the kids were so young, so we've been involved in the sports and stuff. And now they're older, so we're in a place in our life where we're able to come down and enjoy Florida a little bit more. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, you say your kids are involved in sports, Pierre. Like, I want to know what's in the water with your kids, man.
God.
Like, I mean, they're all like unbelievable athletes. How do you do that? What's in the water over there in the Turgeon household?
Funny.
It's in the sea,
so,
Andy.
So my son, you know, it's funny. My oldest one played volleyball for DU for many years, and then when she graduates, now she works. She lives in Denver, and then my son is with GR, Grand Rapids. He belongs to the Red Wings organization, so he's trying to do the big step, and hopefully it's going to be next year. And my last one, she went to Boston to school, and she just graduated this year, and she's 21. So we're in a place in our life where we're a little bit more flexible to do things, for sure. But I love the time I spend with my kids during that time. I love that moment.
Oh, I bet. Oh, I absolutely bet. So you lived in Colorado. Like, were you? I guess it was a Cherry Creek. Is that where we always stayed with the hotel too? Yandy, you've been out there plenty of times.
That's where the Blue stay. Cherry. How do you move from Colorado there, Pierre?
I know.
It is gorgeous. Yeah, for sure, it's nice. There's no water, you know, but they got mountain. It's nice. I mean, we go back. I mean, my daughter's going to be there. She's living there, and my son goes back in the summer to train there. So we're going to take off and probably for a couple months every year to go back in Colorado because we do love Colorado. It is gorgeous. And if you love outdoor biking, cycling, and you're talking about hiking, skiing in the winter, is just beautiful. It is fun. I mean, I started skiing 5 years ago. And from never ski, and I did last year, I did 15 times. The year before, I did 60 times. That was crazy. So I did a lot of skiing. And I, you know, hockey helps, obviously. Yeah. So, and I started playing hockey in Vail also. And then I got to know some local guys, and I ski with them, and I look like a rookie. skiing.
Welcome to my world. No, I'll tell you that. No, it does. My dad took me skiing when I was a kid, and you kind of just pick up on it because when you stop, it kind of is the same, you know, and the movements, your hips, and all that stuff. And obviously, we couldn't do it when you played, but now I feel like this is going to be my next hobby. Screw golf. I want to go skiing all the damn time, man.
Except I'm scared on the gondola.
I'm scared a lot of ways.
I get nervous on the gondola, Pierre.
That's funny. You get used to it. You don't even think about it after that. Well, you know, I mean, you just get in. It takes a while, though. But after that, you just, next thing you know, is you're meeting people on a gondola and you're meeting people on the lift. And you forget about it, you know. But it takes time for sure. It does.
Pierre, last summer, my wife and I went to Whistler, British Columbia. I was up in Vancouver for the draft, and we went up to Whistler for a week. They have this gondola. It's called a Peak to Peak gondola, and it like stretches over nothing. It's like you're on. It's like you're looking.
Oh, I can't do it.
It's like you're looking over the Grand Canyon, okay? And it's on a tight wire. It stopped for 7.5 minutes, and these gondola—they're like cars, you know. So you had like, you know, I don't know, 12 people in there. We're the only ones in there that speak English. And these guys from like Hungary or somewhere, they start getting up. It's swerving around.
Oh, God, Andy.
And I'm like, finally, I'm starting to get mad. I'm like, sit your ass down, please. And he had no idea what I was saying. And I was scared. I could not wait to get it. It was the longest 7 minutes of my life.
Another thing with that, though, and we're going to move on because there's a lot to talk to you about. But you can get injured so easily though skiing down mountains. You ever go down and find a little path where there's trees on each side so you can't stop because your skis are too big, and all of a sudden you come out of that with all that speed and there's a big jump and you fall on your back and you break your back. Has that happened to you? Because it kind of happened to me a couple times.
It didn't happen to me, but you know what? It is scary though. I mean, I don't go around trees too much, and if I go around trees, it's because it's open and there's more. Because it's hard. Skiing is not, I mean, you got to do it quickly. And if you've been doing it since you were young, it's easier, obviously. But, you know, for me, I don't want to take the risk to get hurt. I want to enjoy going down. I want to enjoy the scenery and the beauty with, you know, what you're seeing every day. It's just beautiful. But at the same time, I don't want to go and hurt myself. And I got hurt enough. Done with that.
I hear you, buddy.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I get it. So much to get into you about, but I got to start with this. Last time I saw you, I think you were in town working with the LA Kings as an offensive coordinator. I never even heard of an offensive coordinator in hockey.
Yeah. LA Rams, you mean?
Luke, yeah, were you the offensive coordinator for the Chargers, or was it the LA Kings? But Luke Robitaille, he's the guy that plucked you out of retirement. Did you like it, or was it just not for you?
I did. I enjoy it. You know, first of all, Luke Robitaille and Rob Blake, I mean, you can't ask any better people than this. They're awesome people. They're great professional. They know what they're doing, and the experience. So he calls me and come try it. And I went and I signed for 2 years. I tried for 1 year, and my dad wasn't feeling at that point. He passed away during that time, so I stopped for the next year after. And I didn't feel like wanted to going back, to be honest with you. That's how you do. It's like about me again. You know what I mean? It's about just being there at the rink all the time. I enjoy it, but at the same time, now I'm at the point in my life I want to be able to see my kids a little bit more, to go see my son playing hockey, and I just didn't want to be attached. Did I like the experience? I loved the experience. You know what was great is I used to go on the ice with Kopitar. I used to go on the, and these guys were great. I mean, Brown and just work with their, just, you know, you're not going to tell them what to do. I mean, obviously they know that there's a reason when they've been in the league for so long. But it's just, you know, practicing, repetition, smaller things around the net, and especially Brown. Everything is for him was just tipping the puck and being ready for rebound and just being a pest in front of the net, and he was so good at it. And then I did video. I mean, all of a sudden you do video on games, you bring them up, and then you show them what they do good. I really like driving on. I used to like driving on positive reinforcement. That's how I felt like as a player, I really benefit from that. I think I was trying to do the same. But I love. Close to the player, talking to players all the time, and being on the ice and before practice. And I used to have a couple guys at the end of the, you know, at the end of the year, I had like 15 guys with me or 10 guys with me a lot of times.
I bet.
And I loved it. It's just, you know, it's just work on little detail on the net and skills. And I enjoy that part. But I mean, I'm in a different point in my life, and I decide not to go back.
Yeah, let's face it. I mean, you look in the mirror and you say, listen, I scored 1,300 points.
No shit.
And now it's 3 in the morning. I'm breaking down video.
Breaking down video.
No.
9 hours a day.
I've got other things to do.
That.
I want to go back to when you were a kid, though, man. I mean, were you just an absolute phenom? Like, when did you know you were maybe a little bit different than the other kids that led to you being so special and eventually becoming the first overall pick?
I don't know. I mean, you just have fun with the game. I mean, I love being on the ice. I still do. I mean, when you're a young kid, I used to get up early in the morning, go to the rink, and every weekend I used to go at 5:30. I had probably 45 minutes or an hour just skate around, free skate. And then I ask every team to practice with them. So I brought my lunch, I brought my dinner, and I stayed there all day. That's what I did. I was the rat, rink rat, they call it.
Oh yeah.
I was always there. So, but I enjoyed it. I loved it. So for me, I realized it maybe taking it a little bit more seriously when I saw my brother making it. That's when it was like, okay, you know, if you could do this, and then I'd love to be able to do the same thing. So around, I would say 15 years old, I realized that maybe, you never know until you're 18 and until you're in the league, because it's at the step before junior, the junior to the NHL is huge.
Oh.
And a lot of people can't make it, you know, because there's a big gap for sure. And you never know until you really get in the NHL and play a couple games, a couple months, and then you really feel like you're a part of it.
And I get that. But you're still toe dragging kids like no other. You probably had the puck the whole. Like, how did you? Don't tell me you didn't know that you were pretty fucking good.
Well, yes, you have a lot of confidence, obviously. But you're 18 years old. You get in the NHL. You play against. I mean, I played when I was in Buffalo my first year. I played with Clark Gillies, Mark Napier, Lindy Ruff, Mike Ramsey. I mean, these guys are. They have beers and
men.
They have their tall, their mans. And I'm coming in as an 18, there's an adjustment. And these guys are strong, they're big, they're fast, they're, you know, and the next thing you know is that, yeah, I had the skill, and it was a matter of just putting it on the ice and really feeling more comfortable. And it took me a couple months to really feel like I was thinking that I belong here.
So what was the transition like for you, though? You get to Buffalo, first overall pick,
yeah.
You know, big-time hockey market, heavy expectations.
Oh, yeah.
Were you homesick, or were you one of those guys that adjusted really well pretty quickly?
I did. I left my hometown when I was 14, so that living home was fine. So I went to Montreal for a year. I went to Granby, an hour south of Montreal, for 2 years. So I was fine. Going away, the biggest adjustment was the language. Is I was there, I couldn't say hi, how you doing? That's how bad I was.
Wow.
And so imagine you get on the ice and coaching staff are saying something, you have no idea what's going on. You get behind the line. Hopefully, when you get to your turn, you understand by just looking at the drill of what's happening on the ice. So it was an adjustment. I live with a village family too, which was great. So I was forced to really speak English and insert myself to really speak the language. So it's an adjustment. It was an adjustment.
Oh, I bet. And you know, living with a billet, Lou made me do that too, by the way, Andy. my first year at 20.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Did they throw you out?
No, they love me. They wanted me to hang with their kids every goddamn day, and I'm like, okay, I'm done with this shit. But did that not help you, though, Terzi? Like, just, imagine you're 18, you got to get your own place, you got to pay for it, you got to do your own bills for the first time. Like, that's a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, it really helped. I mean, obviously, Jeremy Ian was the manager there at that one point, and he goes, "We'll put you in the Billet family. You should go there. You should." And it did. It really did. And the family was great, and I was able to ease myself in. And it took an adjustment. It was an adjustment, but it actually helped. Definitely, it did help. Even on the ice. I mean, obviously. On the ice is you know, when you think of Buffalo, the ice is smaller. This, you know, everything, you have the puck was gone quickly. I mean, you got to move it. Everything that was an adjustment. The speed of the game was an adjustment. Guys were stronger. The ice is smaller. Everything was just a process of just learning to get used to the speed of the game and the size of the game. And it was really. It took me a couple months to really feel like I was I felt a lot more comfortable.
The Cam and Strick podcast is brought to you by CarShield. You know, nothing more frustrating, Cam, than when that engine light comes on and you know right off the bat you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to repair your vehicle. Call 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM or visit carshield.com. And use the code CAM to save 10%. Yeah. That's carshield.com. A deductible may apply. Save yourself money. Cam. Sign up and get your coverage now with carshield.com. Cam. Now back to the interview.
What was your first overall pick? What was your signing bonus? I have to ask that. I hope mine wasn't bigger than yours. I hope mine wasn't bigger than yours.
That's funny. So $175,000, that was my signing bonus. And I made $105,000, $115,000, and $125,000. That's what I made my first 3 years.
Wow.
Crazy?
You may hit broadcasters make more than that now. You know that, Pierre.
Yeah, that's funny. But I was happy. I wanted to play hockey. I wanted, you know, and next thing you know, as it got to be in the early 90s, it changed. You know, it really did.
Why is that, you think? Who did that? Was that Lindros? Was that the Lindros ordeal?
I think Bob Goodenow changed everything. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Bob Goodenow really, I mean, I can't remember early night or 90s if we were did a lockout or it was a strike or I 95. So we did that part. So yeah. So, and then all of a sudden it was Brett Hall signing a big contract. Okay. He's probably the one that signed it. And then after that, it got going. And I think Goodenow was Brett Hall's agent at that point before he got to be. And I'm not 100% with that.
No,
but,
I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that.
Imagine that. Goodenow's Holly's agent.
Yeah.
Huh. Making the rules up. Oh, my God.
Hey, Holly, what should we do? How should we change the game?
More money.
Hey, well, you brought up Brett Hall. What did you think of playing with Brett Hall and having him as a teammate?
I love playing with Brett. What a hockey player. You know what the good thing is? I mean, Brett is Brett. He's going to say what he thinks. And you get, I mean, the first year, I'm like, okay. I don't know if I like that, but the second year you get used to it and all of a sudden you like the guy. And, but you know, to me is playing with a guy like Brett is one timer is it's hard to do a one timer. It's got to be at the right place at the right spot. And Brett, it could be forward. It could be backwards. So his range of a one timer was probably 2 feet, you know, mm-hmm. and he was able to get that puck anyway. So do I enjoy playing with him? I love playing with him. And he was an incredible passer, too. Probably better passing than shooter, like almost. It's crazy.
I know, such an underrated passer. And I've talked to him about that, and he would love the fact that you'd say that, because I think even though he scored a ton of goals, and when you got to St. Louis, Pierre, you know, this was, you know, after his three consecutive seasons where he scored 70 or more and had his 86 goal season. But, you know, I'm curious, like, you knew he was a great goal scorer, but was he a more complete player than you even realized before you had a chance to play with him?
And I think he grew during his career, too. He was in the same when he started early in his career, like we all did, too. I mean, obviously, and then he was a more complete player, like, the bat checking part, coming back in his own and really, you know, and really battling, working and just getting open. And he was a complete player. I think more young age, maybe not as much, like all of us. I mean, obviously, and he got better and better. And I, like I said, I love the guy. I think I love playing with Brett. And he was an incredible shooter, right? Can pass her, and he had to be ready all the time. That's expect that puck. And his one-timer is just crazy.
Did he back-check, though? That's a big question. Did he back?
I'm telling you, he did. He was back-checking. And some people maybe early in his career, like, okay. But you know what? He back-checked. He worked hard. He battled. And he was an incredible player to play with. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, speaking of an incredible player, you definitely were as well. And you had some big, big years in Buff, man. I mean, 106 points, this and that and the other. I mean, you were completely dominating. Took you a little bit to get going, and you really found your groove. But then you got traded. You got traded. Pat LaFontaine in that trade. Like, how'd that all go down? Were you surprised by that? Like, what was the reason behind that?
That's good. Yeah, good question. Yeah, it's I was. I mean, especially in my career, everyone was like playing in the same city or same team for a lot of years, and it was starting. You know, I mean, when Gretzky got traded from Edmonton, he went to LA. If Gretzky could be traded, everyone could be traded. The next thing you know, you've seen trades here and there, and it's really rare that you see player after that stayed at the same place all their career. You know, there is a lot of people, it's not a lot, but some people, but it's, it used to be every player used to belong to one team for many years, you know, and it changed. But it was an adjustment. When I got traded, I was surprised. I was disappointed, but at the same time, I was going to playing for Al Arbour, obviously an incredible coach and one of the best coach I had with Quinville. And Bill Torrey, these guys on the island. And then we got traded for Huey Crew, Dave McCoin, and Benoit Hogue for Randy Wood and Patty. Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, the trade was really benefiting for both teams because we had many players going to the Islanders too. So the team we had with the Islanders was a good team. At the same day, I think we had Steve Thomas and Adam Creighton that came in.
Adam too. Creighton. Oh, my God.
Is that crazy?
I'm sorry, but my dad, I never liked him. Not that he's a bad guy, but he was six. I remember watching him as a kid, and he was 6'8", and Gino Ogic chased him around the ice so bad. I'm like, just string the dude out. I don't know. I'm sorry. You brought up Adam Creighton. I got to talk about him.
Hey, Pierre, listen.
Yeah,
don't ever tell Cam that was a good question again, by the way. Okay.
I got a big head now.
He's never asked a good question. Now he finally does. We won't stop hearing about that for a long time.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Oh, my God.
But you're welcome.
But then you get to the Islanders, man, and listen, you had some unbelievable seasons there. I think it was 92-93 where you just, were unbelievable. It's hard to believe. I think you scored, 58 goals, something like that year? And that was fifth in the league. I mean,
I was eighth in the league. I think it was
fifth in the league in points.
Well, no, you're right. I think I was, but 132 points, and I was eighth in the league. That's crazy when you think about this.
Psychotic.
I mean, yeah, now you barely see a guy making 100 points.
But what was different that year for you, just in terms of just being in the groove and having that confidence, feeling like you could score every single shift?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, it was. Everyone in the league. Why? Change maybe the goalie. I mean, they're you know, goalies at brown pads. They were narrow. They were really thin. You could see some nets, and now you can't see anything. I mean, unless you hit the post or you have a rebound, you have a chance to score. But I mean, before we used to have those maybe 10-foot wide pads, and now they're 12. They're 13 to 14, I think. I don't know.
It's like you're shooting on Darren Pangs all over the place, and now you got Marty in the mix.
That's funny. Two pads light, two all over. Oh my God.
I could score off of that, Andy.
John Sebastian Jagr. I mean, he loses in the Stanley Cup final, but he was unbelievable and got the Conn Smythe. But all right, let's talk playoff, though.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, against the Washington Capitals, you score a goal. Obviously, it was the game winner. You know, the game was essentially over. And Dale Hunter hits you from behind. One of the dirtiest plays we've ever seen in the history of the game.
Oh.
Have you ever talked to him? And just, I mean, how do you reflect on that moment, Pierre? Does it still bother you to this day?
No, it doesn't. I mean, obviously, it's after so many years, you know, it's been, you move on. But we had a small conversation. It was three days after he called and, you know, mentioned that he was sorry and he didn't see that I scored. You know, that was the point. Like, and yeah, so, come but it doesn't, I mean, it didn't matter at that point. I mean, it was so raw. So, but today, you know, he had an incredible career, a lot of respect that with the career he had, you know, and he does incredible with what he's doing today with young kids. And you can't take away that. I mean, he's a great, he does something, a lot of good things for the game, for sure.
He does. And, you know, he messed up. And we all have. And we've all been there. And even if,
for sure,
you know, you're just in that moment and he's pissed and you probably dominated that fucking game anyway. He's probably chasing you all over the place the whole damn time. I want to go back to, too, though. You guys knocked off the big boys.
Yeah,
Mario Lemieux. You got Jager with the mullet. They're doing
that's
their
nuts.
Thing. How did you prepare for a series like that?
Yeah, I was out. Obviously, I dressed for the last game, and that was it. And so I didn't play that series. But we somehow. I mean, we had Al Arbour that, you know, his power he had, or the influence he had in the locker room and the way he was talking and the experience he had, he really believed at the players. And, you know, he goes, what do we have to lose here? Nothing. You know,
let's go play.
And really, let's go play hockey. Are they beatable? Oh, yeah, they are. And we'll beat them. Like, he really convinced us, like, okay, let's do this. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to go. And all of a sudden you just stretch it to game seven. You just need that break.
Right,
and we did, you know.
So they played for you, man.
Yeah.
They played for you.
It was, who scored? I'm blanking here, but it was Ray Ferraro from David Volek that scored, you know, in OT. That's right. And so it was an incredible, but beating the Penguins was like, you're right. I mean, you're talking to Lemieux and, you know, Jager and Steven and all the defensemen, Tom Barras on the back. I mean, you're talking about that, an incredible team, you know, and we found a way to win. It was incredible. I mean, it was the best thing, though.
Yeah.
The best thing, for sure.
Cam went from asking a great question to asking
you
that question.
No, I knew that you played. No. I knew. That was actually a better question because he was out. Okay, go ahead, Andy. You're next. No,
but when you came back and you played in that game seven, then the following round against the Montreal Canadiens, like, were you healthy or were you just damaged goods trying to make it through?
I started. I wasn't ready. I started the first game. I played that first game. I missed one game. I missed that first game, I think, and the second game in Montreal I played. And I wasn't ready. I mean, I had no shoulder. I mean, I had no power. I couldn't push. I couldn't do anything. So it was just I had a separation of shoulder. And I couldn't really had no strength. So I mean, I was all tied up. I was I froze it. I did everything I could to make sure I was able to play. And we did okay. I mean, consider the overtime, they won Montreal all that year. I mean, we had a couple of overtime, if I'm not mistaken, and Patrick Watt was on his head. So, but we had a chance, for sure we did. And what an incredible year, incredible playoff too. We still see each other, all the teammates from Long Island. We have a golf tournament every year that we go to. The trainers get a tournament and we still see each other once in a while and every year pretty much, and it's always fun, and we go back and the stories are flying back, so it's always nice.
Cam and Strick podcast here for our boy Dan Bellman with Bellman.com.
Yeah, baby.
You need some new wheels? Why not get a Cadillac, a Buick, a GMC? Head out to Troy today. And again, don't forget about Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram right across the street.
No doubt.
Right there in Troy, Missouri. Visit them online. Check out their new selection, the pre-owned selection. The best service you will find anywhere in the country. Bellman.com. BehlmannN.com. Get yourself some new wheels in time for the summer.
Yeah.
Now back to the interview.
It's funny how when the big boys get knocked off like that, it's just open. It's open for anybody to win, and Montreal took advantage of it. I could only imagine. I see the players now when they're injured with their shoulder, though, and it still looks like it's like a medieval wrap that they put around, like they're back in the Middle Ages fighting Vikings, and you can't even move your arm. I can only imagine what they had the setup for you. I mean, Jesus Christ, you probably look like a mummy, you know, tied up so much with your shoulder. You couldn't do anything.
No, you're right. You can't reach out. You can't push. You can't. So they tie you up with their arms, and you can't pull it. You could. You can't. You're restricted. You're really restricted. And at the same time, you're just they freeze it and they tie you up, and it's not. It was in the best situation, but I was able to go back and play. You know, that was the main. In the playoff, you do whatever it takes. You just go on the ice. Yeah.
It was interesting because, you know, after Dale Hunter hit you from behind.
Yep.
You know, Jacques Demers, he was the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens at the time, and he really came out in defense of you and had your back and made some comments publicly at the time. And then you go to Montreal. Like, was that a dream come true for you, being a Quebec kid, having a chance to play for the Canadiens? Like, were you a fan of Montreal growing up?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you're going to Montreal Canadien, you grew up, you look at, you know, going up back north of Montreal, 7 hours north, that's our hometown, Rouyn-Noranda. And looking to Montreal Canadiens, and, you know, that's what you dream when you're young. So I want to be a part of that organization. I want to play for the Montreal Canadiens. And and going there, too, and you had, I mean, Vanny Danfous, I mean, Patrick Waugh was there, and Mark Koivu was there. We had an incredible team. Mm. Well, and then everything happened in a year and a half that I was there. I wasn't there long. They closed the Forum, which was incredible. I mean, they opened the Molson Center, and this Patrick Waugh situation when everything went in the air, and he got traded. And then they fired Serge Chavard, Demers, and Reginald came in. Mario Tremblay came in as a coach. So all this in a year and a half, I'm like, wow, this is busy. I mean, there was so much going on, you know, for a year and a half. But closing the Forum was probably top of one of the best thing, you know, be at the right place, the right time. That's what it was for me as a captain too. And I closed the Forum, we had the torch and all that stuff. It was an incredible evening. It was just, and Maurice Richard standing ovation for 5 minutes. I mean, it was just crazy. And playing in the Forum too was something unique, obviously, as you guys know. So, yeah.
Oh my God, just being in Montreal. So you guys had the torch. I'll never forget that, watching that on television.
Yeah.
Closing down the Forum. So how did that work? Because you were the captain. So did you light the torch of somebody else, or somebody light your torch? How'd that work?
So I was the last one that got the torch. So it went around all the captains on the ice. Yeah, I mean, you look at, it was incredible. Jean Béliveau, Maurice Richard. I mean, you talk about that, all the names. It's crazy. You go on and on. And Serge Chavard. And then it came to me at the end. And I was the last one leaving with the torch in a Zamboni entry. When we moved down to the Molson Center, I was the torch. I had the torch and I moved it in. Moving that torch, going back to the new building. So it was an incredible night. I mean, it's just the emotion and the people there and the history on the ice was just an incredible thing. When you Google this, and if you go on YouTube and check it out, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, no one's ever given me a torch for anything because I probably burned the place down. But what was it? You see all these guys, in, you know, they're captains of Montreal. I mean, it's got to be like the most difficult place to be a leader in, right? I mean, although, you know, you speak French and all that stuff, which makes it a little bit easier. But, I mean, do you feel for some of the guys now with the social media and being in the spotlight like that? Because it was completely different than when you played.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, the social media is completely different for sure. But the media was tough. Obviously, everywhere you go in Montreal, they know. It's all hockey. You know, it's just that's where it is. So there's no middle, really. It's you're very good or you're very bad.
I know.
There's no, you're just okay. So that was that's how it is. I mean, it's Montreal, but what a place to play, obviously, the fans, and you feel the fans, and it was a great place to be in the city too. You go to a restaurant, you meet people. It's a different vibe too.
Yeah, I could only imagine. All right, tell us about the story though. When Patrick Waugh, you know, listen, I mean, he goes and you know, the story everybody knows when he basically leaned over behind the glass and told ownership, hey,
no glass.
Trade me now. Yeah. I mean, as a teammate, as the captain, were you like, oh my God, okay, let's calm down, Patty Waugh, or we have no control of the situation, he's made up his mind?
You
like,
can't.
Did the coaches and management talk to you as the captain here or no?
You have no control. I mean, at that point, it just goes, it's between. I mean, Patrick got up and went to see Mr. Corey and says, this is the last game I'm going to play for the Montreal Canadiens. It was done. And then he stayed in net for 7 goals, I think, if I'm not mistaken, at that point against the Red Wings. So it got to be, so he wasn't happy with this situation. And then he went talk to Mr. Corey, which is, you're right, you guys, there's no glass. I mean, it's just Mr. Corey, they had just a little ramp. and he said, yeah, that was it. That was it. And, so you could talk to the manager if you wanted to, and he did. So it was just crazy. I mean, and then it took about a couple of weeks, and he was going to Colorado.
You didn't try to talk him out of it. Like, teammates didn't go over to his house.
Oh, you can't. I call him because I used to. We drove together all the time, so. I called him and said, I mean, what's the deal? I said, I'm not going to be here. I can't be here. So next thing you know, he had his mindset and the organization had their mindset too. And, you know, they made the trade. So,
well, it wasn't just that though, was it? I mean, was it just because he got lit up in that game? And I remember him flopping his hands. He's like, I mean, there's got to be a little bit more to it. Like, was there bad blood before that?
It was a little bit of, for sure. It was some situation before that didn't start as well. I don't know if Patrick got along very well with Mario and Mario got him. So it was from the start. I think it was accumulation of a lot of things that got to that point.
How'd you end up in St. Louis?
From Montreal. I said from Montreal to Amin Conroy for Carson and Barron, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Murray Barron
and Shane Corson. I remember Shane Corson and that deal. Yeah. But what were you thinking? I mean, Pierre, you had such a great career. Now you're off to another team. You're going from your childhood favorite team in Montreal now to St. Louis.
Midwest.
Were you prepared for that? And was it better than you could have expected?
For sure. Oh, my God. Yeah. Keenan got traded for me. I'm like, what? Keenan wants me? Why? You know, I'm thinking, why? And I got there the first 10 games I got, I don't know, I got 10 assists or 11 assists, but no goals. But he calls me in his office and I got a ear full, to be honest with you, right from the start. But you know what I like is, you know, he challenged you and he put me on the ice and played me 20 minutes. He said, you respond now. I want you to do something about it. And you know what? I loved it. I really liked it. I enjoy it. So, but he was there for 3 months or 4 months. And then Quenneville, Jimmy took over too as a coach for the rest of the year when Keenan went. Mm-hmm. And then after that, Quenneville came in, and we played for Joe for many years. So I love playing for Joe.
What's the difference, though? What's it like? We've had Mike Keenan on. We've had guys. We've had a bunch of guys talking about Mike Keenan and how he kind of presented the way he wanted to do things. What's the difference between like a guy like him and Joel Quenneville, who seems like a down to earth, pretty easy going kind of guy?
Yeah, I think Mike wanted to. I think if you feel too comfortable for your at your job, he didn't feel like you were going to produce or being. That's my opinion from the outside. I played only for 3 months. Maybe some guys talk differently about it, but he wants for you to be on your edge all the time, so you'll perform better. And that's how he. And then Quenneville was more on, you know, if you feel more comfortable here or you feel more comfortable at home, then you're gonna produce. You're gonna want to play here. And they're great. I mean, Keenan was an incredible coach. I have a lot of respect for what he's done. I love playing for 3 months. I played with him. I like it. I loved it.
Hmm, cool.
And yes, he could challenge you, but at the same time, he's giving you a chance to respond to it. And I like that.
That's interesting.
I want
to stick on St. Louis, but it made me think, you know, John Tortorella was an assistant coach. He broke in with Buffalo, right? When you were in Buffalo?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, did you see him being the guy he is today? Like, did he kind of bring that swagger and attitude with him as an assistant or no?
No, no. But the first of all, I couldn't really understand what he was saying. So
I couldn't. I still can't.
So that was it. Wasn't as hard, but yeah, I think he was learning. He was an assistant coach. He was trying to help. He was trying to help the players. He was trying to help us. He was trying to more on that regard. I didn't see him that way, or the way he is today. And I mean, look at what he's done too. He's done great. You know what I mean? So he's lugged. So, but yeah. So I didn't see. I was so young, and I didn't see him as. You know, I think he was learning the game. He was trying to get. I mean, as assistant coach, a lot of times you have a different approach to the players too. And he was really. I thought. You know, and never thought that he would be the way he is today with the players and the way he is with. The way he coach, and not a bad thing. That's his the way he does.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. He gets after the media too.
Oh shit! Here. Yeah, he does.
And you know, I mean, and you played for Hitch too in Dallas, man. You had all different types of coaches there, Pierre. You know, but I got to stick on St. Louis though, because you guys had some great teams. My first year covering the Blues was 99-2000. You guys won the President's Trophy.
Oh,
and then you lose in the front. You didn't like. Color your eyebrows, did you? I mean, you weren't one of those, were you, Pierre?
No, I didn't. That is funny. You remember that. That's funny.
Of course we do.
Oh, my God.
He loses his mind when we bring that up, by the way. Jammer loses.
Oh, yeah. Jammer doesn't
like that. He fucking loses it. When we bring
does
that
he?
Up to, oh, my God, yes. He,
why?
I don't know. He's sensitive.
He says that he didn't like that. You know, Craig Conroy, you know, all these guys who did that. I think Lubos Barteco may have been on the team. He may have done that as well. But, you know, your teams here, though, Terj, I mean, you look at Al McInnes and Pronger, like, just in terms of the two-headed monster, those two provided.
Incredible.
Like, how good were they compared to the other defensemen you play with and against throughout your career?
It was unbelievable. They were top-notch players. You know, Al was just a first-class guy. I mean, Pronk, I love Chris. He was really tough in the locker room, too, but at the same time, he was tough on the young kids coming in, too. But what a hockey player. And I love Chris. Chris was really good. My son loved Chris. I mean, he used to walk in the locker room all the time, and Chris used to challenge him all the time. And my son was really young, obviously, and I used to just wrestle with him a little bit. And he still talked today about Chris. I mean, but these two guys had a huge impact on the ice. I mean, think about this. They played 30 minutes each. There's not many minutes left for the rest of the defensemen. Seriously, when you think about it, and these guys on the ice was just. He dominated, and Chris was able to play over 30 minutes. Why? I mean, he worked hard on his own, and when the play moved forward, and he just paced himself, he was able to really, he was really smart to keep his energy, and that's why he was able to play for so many minutes a game.
What a bunch of personalities in that dressing room, though. You had Mark Bergevin, you had Tony Twist.
I mean, just
character after character to go along with Prongs and some of these other guys that were on that team.
And Bergeron was just he was on stuff. You guys probably heard a lot of story about it, but it's true. It is true. I mean, it's just a fun guy to have in the locker room. He's one of the reason why when we went in the playoff and we came back against Phoenix, you know, he kept us loose, and he wasn't playing. You know, he was the what he brought to the locker room is just incredible. And it's just to give you a story. I mean, we're losing 3-1, and we're in Phoenix, and we're staying in the Ritz-Carlton. We're getting off, we're getting on the bus, we're leaving for the rink. We're losing 3-1 in the series, and he's got a huge wig on and a jersey, Grand Fjord jersey, and he's got a huge sign at the red lights. And he's saying, "Go Blues, go!" And that
helps.
Crazy.
Though.
And then this is, you know what? But I know some, you know, I mean, we had the manager was fine with it. Everything was. I mean, they were laughing. Everyone was crying, laughing on the bus. They're crazy. Who does that? No one. Who does that? Who thinks about doing that stuff anyway?
He does. You need that. You need that sometimes. Somebody just like just fucking break up the monotony a little bit. Somebody be funny. What do you think happened in that? You guys were. I remember, and I'm from St. Louis, and I remember this. And I, you guys dominated all year. Everybody was so excited, and I think they had a picture in the paper where it said like all you guys were like celebrating, and it said place cup here. And I remember my dad coming to me like, that's not good. Like, they kind of jinx it. What happened with that? I mean, that must have been pretty frustrating when you had that unbelievable team.
Yeah, for sure. It was disappointed. I mean, obviously, we had the team. We had everything to move forward. And all of a sudden, we weren't able to go to the next step, you know. And then especially when you have all that talent on the team. And it's just, it didn't happen, you know. And we had some, I mean, couple breaks here and there. And who was our goalie too? We had Roman Torek.
Hey, let's just say this: his jersey's not hanging from the rafters right now. Poor guy.
Yeah, but he had some. You know, he was not a good. He was not a bad teammate. A good goalies. He had some struggles in the playoff, like some of us did. And you know. And so it wasn't easy. Obviously, we could have gone far for sure, 100%.
Well, you know, just,
and we should have.
Shit happens all. You know, you get cold at the wrong time, right time, whatever the case is.
Andy Strickland and Cam Jansen here for you for GadgetBuyback.com. Yeah. Gadget Lab, they got a store here locally if you're in St. Louis, 5541 Telegraph Road. Here's the deal: you got an old phone, maybe a cracked tablet, maybe it's perfect, but it's a little bit older. Turn it in right now, www.gadgetbuyback.com. Upgrade your devices, phones, computers, watches.
Anything.
Doesn't have to be Apple either.
No.
Get those tablets turned in. Again, www.gadgetbuyback.com, 877-772-8880. Now back to the interview.
Yeah. Let me ask you a dead serious question here. As a big fan for a long time, why the hell are you not in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Here's my point. Terry Yake, so many guys, we're behind you on this thing. You have more points than anybody else as far as who hasn't made it yet. What do you think the reasoning is? And how do they even dictate who goes in these days?
I don't know. I mean, I imagine it's got to be a hard, there's a lot of good players that comes in play too. I don't know. I mean, it's just I'd love to be part of it. I it would be an incredible things to be part of all the players but these guys they're going in, they're great players. You know, I mean, it's just it's got to be a hard decision for a lot of guys on the board. But do I feel like I belong there? Yes, I do. That's my opinion. You know, but again, I mean, it's not mine to decide. But I don't know. It's all my name. Feel like every year I feel like it's there. They're talking, it doesn't happen. But at the same time, you know, when I look back, I was blessed to do something I love. I love the game of hockey. I love being on the ice, and I wouldn't change anything on that. I mean, it's crazy how a lot of people could say, I love what I'm doing. I love what I did. 100%. I mean, I just love the game of hockey. I love it.
Well, you're going to get in. I mean, it's a matter of time. You should have gotten in already, but you will get in. But yesterday when the announcement's being made, like, is yesterday a stressful day for you?
No, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, obviously, I want to know. I want to see what's going on. I want to see. But, you know, Iginla is an incredible player. I mean, Osa is an incredible player. Lowe is incredible. You know what I mean? These guys, they belong there. So, and not only that, I mean, I'm happy for them. Very happy, you know. And so hopefully it's going to be my turn one day, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to write him an email right now,
by the way.
Yeah, I'm texting JD. Why isn't Pierre Turgeon in the Hall of Fame? Hey, I got one more question for you, then we'll let you go. But I got to take you back to the World Juniors back in 1987. And, I mean, the fight against Russia, Pierre Turgeon.
Yep.
What do you remember about that? And, you know, I know there's been a lot of talk about you staying on the bench. You didn't really get involved
in
the
true,
fist.
But
okay,
really?
So then
it
there you go.
Matter.
So set the record straight for us.
Yeah. Yeah, so it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know how. But, yeah, I came out maybe one of the last guys I did. I was last. I got on. I had a guy. Guy didn't fight. And I was fine with it, you know. And next thing you know is I stayed on the bench. I don't know. I have no idea why that came off or how or why. I don't know. I don't know.
Was that kind of horrifying experience, though? They turned the lights off on you guys? Like, that's like a nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare.
That's just weird. I mean, obviously, I was on the ice holding someone. I think it was Scott Metcalf went at it. Like, he was just, and then it stopped. And all of a sudden the light came off and it's like putting gas in the fire. The next thing you know, it got 10 times worse. And that's what I mean. I don't know. It just started from being a couple fights on the ice. And then this couple guys stepped on from their bench, jump on the ice. And then it just got loose after that. And then
Yeah,
but I'm hearing that story too, so I don't know. I don't know. It is what it is. It doesn't matter, you know. For me, at the end of the day, I played 19 years. I'm happy that I was able to play hockey, love what I did, and that's what it comes down to. The rest, I'm okay with it.
But Harold Ballard, yeah. Right, the former owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs, he made up gold medals for you guys. Like, did you guys each get a gold medal?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
you still have it?
Yes, I do.
No, he threw it away, Andy. What the hell do you think?
But does it look like a gold medal from the World Junior? Is it like a replica?
It does.
What
it's
is
kind
it?
Of a. It's kind of a wrap around. It's kind of, yeah. It does. It does. I mean, it's not. It's I mean, it is. It's not their gold medal that we're supposed to get, but you know, it is. It is a gold medal. You know. It's that was weird. All this. I mean, after that fight, everyone came out, and then they had guards. All the way to the bus. You couldn't even turn left or right. And you had to go to the bus, and then they have security police all the way around. And they quick, I mean, we went out. We didn't have to, we couldn't go any place else than to the border. And they actually, we left right away. And so, I mean, it was really an experience just to live too. I mean, from that point to the locker room, out, we were they kicked us out so quick. It was unbelievable.
Some amazing names in that game. Jesus, too, right? Shanahan. I mean, Mogilny and Fedorov and some of these guys, right, playing for Russia. Yeah. Shanahan. And Theo Fleury.
I mean,
amazing group of players.
Yeah, we had some good players, and we should have. I mean, we were winning by a goal or two, if I'm not mistaken, at that point, and we needed to win by two goals, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
what an experience.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, you don't see that too often, a bench-clearing brawl.
I
want to
see
go
it.
Out.
I want to see it. Turn the lights out.
Hey, Pierre, thanks, man. Yeah. Listen, we appreciate you coming on and doing this with us. And
thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, for sure. Anytime.
And all the alumni guys say, hey, man, and they want to make sure I said that to you. So
I love these guys. They're awesome. Chaser to all these guys. I love these guys for sure.
Well, they love
you
too, man.
Everyone.
All right. All the best to you, man. We'll be in touch.
See you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll see you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That was Pierre Turgeon. Do you know any French?
Oh, fuck. Je m'appelle Cam. Does that mean my name's Cam?
Is that how you say my name is?
I don't know. Why are you putting me on a spot, dude? Now people are going to chirp me on fucking Twitter. Man, I went to French class for a couple months, and then I was like, okay, I'm done with this shit.
Where were you in like the early 2000s when Pierre was just, I mean, he was lighting it up here in St. Louis?
I was playing for Windsor, man.
Already? When did you go to Windsor?
2001.
2001. Mm-hmm. What was your first day like? Were you scared when you walked in?
Yeah, I had a big herpes on my fucking face.
Did you? Your first day?
Oh, God, do I got to tell a story? Oh, this is so fucking embarrassing. So I get there, training camp, do well. Then I got to go to high school for their face day. And I get this thing on my lip, right? Like, sometimes you just get a thing on your lip. Mm-hmm. Was I making out with Brian?
Like a cold sore?
A cold sore. So I was like, Cam, what were you doing? Like, who the fuck knows? Like, I don't know. Maybe I did something weird with my lips that fucking week. I don't know. But this damn thing started to grow. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I got school in a couple days. Mm-hmm. First time I go to a different school in forever, right? Supposed to be a big dog doing this shit. I get this thing growing on my lip. So what do? It's starting to get like kind of like pussy a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous looking. I got to do something about it. What can you do, Cam? Fine. Get a knife. cut that son of a bitch open so it looks like a scar, like he got punched in the face. Okay, Cam, that's a good idea. That's a great idea, Cam. You're smart. Do that. Okay, fine. Cut it open. It spreads everywhere. I have a herpes on my lip that goes all the way up to my nose, and then it spread down to the bottom of my lip. Then I have to go to school the next day, and everybody's like, oh my, what is wrong with you, psychopath? You look like a psycho. Where are you from? Like, Eureka, Missouri. Oh, no wonder you're a psycho. Yeah, I have a weird thing on my lip. Sorry, it went away, and no one gave a shit after that, Andy. Very embarrassing, though. Don't cut your herpes with a fucking knife.
All right, July 4th weekend. How do you celebrate July 4th?
Shoot off
fireworks. What do you rank that amongst your favorite holidays?
I wear a Speedo with an American flag on it, and I fucking shoot off fireworks like a hillbilly, and I drink Busch beer. Go, 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 go. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, man.
Can't watch fireworks this year, though.
Oh, really?
No.
Come out to Jeffco, baby.
Is that where you're at?
You're in a wealthy part of fucking Ladue, a bunch of fancy lads cruising around. Is like, that where what are we doing here? I'm in Ladue. I'm fucking out in Eureka, dude. I could shoot off whatever. I could have a rocket ship go off in my backyard. It doesn't mean shit.
They don't care.
You're in a wealthy part of Ladue.
Did you ever consider moving out of Eureka?
Hell
or is
no.
that ever a consideration?
No, I'm going to go maybe.
How did you live all the way out there when you were playing? That's a lot. That's a long commute.
That's my parents said. That's why they went broke. Took an hour and a half to get to practice and shit like that. And
were you ever late?
No. Am I ever late for anything,
I don't
Andy?
Know. Were you ever late to practice?
Am I ever late
that's
for
a
anything?
A long drive, dude.
Am I ever late for
why
anything?
Wouldn't you live like closer to like where your teammates were and stuff?
Maybe my parents couldn't afford the wealthy part of Ladue.
I'm talking about when you were
talking?
Playing in the show in the for the St. Louis Blues.
Oh, because my house, I bought that house when I was 19. 19, homie, with my signing bonus. So I had my house when I was 19 years old. I'm not moving away from my parents. I live next to my parents. They're taking care of my shit when I'm gone. My animals and shit. I thought animals could take care of themselves. Apparently they can't for 9 months. I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. I'm kidding. My parents took care of them.
Take care of your animals.
Andy, I do.
I got to listen. I keep hearing from a listener. His name is Justin Martin. And I think he's from Alberta.
He doesn't like you.
Well, no. He's been sending me like private messages, and he's like, oh, I'm just busting,
is he pissing
just
me?
Busting your balls. Oh, he's having fun about it, dude.
Well, sometimes I don't know.
We love Canada, dude. Happy Canada Day
to all our
Canadians north of the border who are listening and supporting the Canada Day podcast.
That was yesterday. No, that was 2 days ago.
It was.
It's going to be good.
So I told him that I was going to say an apology because I said something.
He's going to hate you even more now.
No. He's funny. He's cool. But because we were talking about the pod cities, if they should be in, or the hub cities, if they should be in Canada or not. And so everybody's like, all the Canadians are like celebrating.
Well,
it was like the best Canada Day ever.
Dude, let them celebrate. They deserve it.
Got the two hub cities, and it was Canada Day. That's probably the most memorable Canada Day they may ever have.
Well, they good. I want them.
So
I
apologize if we upset any Canadians, including Justin.
He's
so
a cool
congratulations
guy.
On getting two hub cities. Not one, but two.
Drama.
Would you rather go to Toronto or Edmonton?
Toronto. Damn right, Toronto, dude.
Also, Andrew Jackson. I got to give him a shout out. Forgot to the other day. I mean, this guy just flat out gets it done up in Canada and has a great event company. Represents a lot of former NHL legends. Very close to the Wendell Clark as well.
Wendell.
And they've been providing access and creating celebrity-based programs for over 20 years. So a big shout-out to Andrew Jackson, who's now on our team. He's on our staff
Andrew
here.
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson.
That's a hardcore
like a former
name.
President.
That's a hardcore name
His
right
brother
now.
Played in the show.
Andrew Jackson. That's hardcore
And he's
name.
A big-time agent.
Yeah,
represents
statue.
A bunch of guys.
I think he just got torn down.
Yeah. So big shout-out to Andrew Jackson.
All right,
that was Pierre Turgeon. We have some other great ones coming up. As always, support our sponsors, carshield.com, and don't be like Cam, or be like Cam. If your car goes out, be like Cam.
Either or.
You know?
Don't be like me in a lot of ways. But,
visit the promo code Cam, or use the promo code Cam, you'll save 10%. 800-857-2481. And of course, gadgetlab.com. You got a crack phone, tablet.
Figure it out.
Tablet, whatever it is. Check them out, 877-772-8880, gadgetbuyback.com. That's the website. See how much what you have, how much it's worth. And again, we've heard from people from different NHL teams who say, hey, hook us up with that name and that number.
We will.
I'm like, dude, I just did.
Simple, baby.
David Long, man. Give him a shout right now.
How about your video guy?
877-772-8880.
Yeah, dude.
Gadget Lab, gadgetbuyback.com. And, of course, Bellman.com. Get yourself a new car available out there in Troy. They've got the pre-owned cars, man. Huge selection of pre-owned cars. Bellman.com. Be sure to check that out. We're heading out there very, very soon. And, of course, Cope24.com. Our girl, Renee.
Yeah.
www.cope24.com. KamJansen.com. All right, this has been Pierre Turgeon. For Cam Jansen, I'm Andy Strickland. Thanks for supporting another edition
Thanks, dudes.
Of the Cam and Strick Podcast.
Pardon my language.